The coronavirus crisis has exposed and exacerbated some fault lines in civic life, including the tension between science and politics. The goals and methods of scientists with expertise in public health and medicine don't necessarily match the typical aims of politicians. To help us explore the historical context of this conflict, we turn to Naomi Oreskes, a Harvard professor of the history of science. Naomi, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
What is your thumbnail sketch of the science-politics conflict in the COVID-19 pandemic?
What we've seen in the last few weeks and months is, as you said, a fault line that already existed. For the last 40 years or so in the United States, we've seen the growth of what my colleagues and I call implicatory denial, people who reject scientific evidence not because there's anything wrong with the science, but because they don't like its implications. And the place we've seen this most clearly, and the reason why it lines up with partisan politics, is because a lot of scientific evidence in the area of environmental science and public health points to the need for government interventions to address the problem, and this clashes with the conservative ideology of personal responsibility and limited government. And so we've seen in this case that when the evidence of the coronavirus, you know, first began emerging in late December and January, we saw great reluctance on the part of the Trump administration to address it. We heard them saying, oh, it should be left to the states or it should be left to the private sector. This was completely consistent with traditional conservative ideology, but it clashed with the need for organized responses because, as we know, if you leave it to individuals, if you leave it to the states, you know, individuals can do a lot and states can do a lot, but we lack the coordination that is essential for addressing something like a pandemic.
The word unprecedented is being used a lot these days. Do you see a precedent in history for what's happening now, this constellation of a sudden arrival of a threat that requires a solution from science, and the only near-term solution involves this huge social and economic upheaval, all of which is being accompanied by mixed messages from political leaders?
For me, what feels different about this moment is not so much that it's sudden, although obviously the suddenness of it makes it different than something like tobacco or climate change, but the ways in which I think so many people seem shocked to learn that there could be a virus out there. And I think that many of us, because we've forgotten what it was like to live in a world of infectious diseases, we're kind of complacent. We think that we've solved a lot of problems, that we can manage the world, that we can control nature. And I think what this reminds us is that we actually really cannot.
Sometime next century, what do you think future generations of scholars of the history of science will be teaching about the current coronavirus crisis and the conflict between science and politics?
I think that if future historians look back on this period, what they will see is a tragedy of denial. I mean, everything we needed to do to have lowered the infection rate on coronavirus, I mean, we had this technology. I mean, there's nothing fancy about face masks, right? And even ventilators, okay, they're expensive, but we had that technology existed, but we didn't use it. And we didn't use it as effectively as we could have because we weren't willing to be honest about what we were facing. And because we were caught up in this ideology of limited government and personal responsibility that made it much more difficult than it needed to be to say, we do need to work together, and we are in this together, and there are steps we can take now. They require the government. They require the government to work with the private sector. There's no business case for stockpiling a billion face masks, but there is a scientific and public health case. And we didn't listen to that scientific and public health case because we were so enthralled in this notion that the market would solve all our problems. And I think that's the big thing that historians will look back and see as a sort of colossal error that ended up being very, very costly.
Naomi Oreskes is a Harvard University professor of the history of science. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure speaking with you.